The scripture today comes from John chapter 4, verses 5 through 42. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this well will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" Many Samaritans from the city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
Have you ever thought seriously about how fortunate we are to have great drinking water in Fort Collins? Yesterday afternoon, I was sitting down at the Zwei Brewing Company with my son Cameron, and just remarking on how great the water tastes here. He's a senior at CU Boulder, so the water in Boulder, not as good, not as good. And I have a theory about that, which I will share with you afterward if you wish. I mean, it's no accident that we are home to 24 great breweries in this town. Everything from, you know, the behemoth Anheuser-Busch plant to, you know, Black Bottle Brewery just down the road on Prospect. Seriously, our water tastes great straight from the tap. And imagine what would happen to the brewing industry if we had the water problems in Fort Collins, say, faced by the residents of Flint, Michigan. Water is one of those basic elements of survival that we in the Western United States actually think about. We understand how precious and how divisive it can be when we get into water rights. And I'm always sort of intrigued by the way newspapers in Colorado report the good news about snowpack, which is never straight out good news. I mean, they never just come right out and say, hey, we have great snowpack this year. No, it's this. The South Platte River Basin is at 138% of normal, but it may not last if the spring rains don't arrive. You know how that good news, bad news thing goes. You know that drill. I mean, at least it's not all bad news. But the setting for today's gospel lesson is terribly dire. It's a desert setting. It's a parched landscape without reservoirs, without purification, without plumbing and distribution systems. Water there is even more dear than it is here. And so wells in that setting were absolutely essential to life. And as Jesus tells the Samaritan woman at the well, we are all thirsting for water that will slake our parched souls, the living water that Jesus offers. Now, for many of us, and I include myself, we sometimes don't know exactly where to find the water that's going to satisfy that inner thirst that we experience. You know what I'm talking about? When we know in the depths of our being that something is wrong, that we're experiencing anxiety, or we're stressed out, or depressed, or lonely, or fearful, something is not right. And sometimes we try to alleviate the discomfort we feel by grabbing a bag of potato chips, or grabbing a bottle of scotch, or a Valium, or we have an extramarital affair, or we smoke a joint, or we take it out on our kids, or we take it out on our spouses, or we go shopping. You know, I had my wife, Jane Ann, read this sermon beforehand, and in the margin right there, she wrote chocolate. So. We're thirsty. We're all of us thirsty, but sometimes we don't know which well to drink from. And now, as a nation, we're being reminded of an age-old thirst for justice. Justice especially for the people that Jesus called the least of these who are members of my family. And this week's budget announcement is just the tip of the iceberg. Those who have influence, and I'm talking about all of us, just the influence of sending a postcard to a member of Congress, are being called upon to lift our voices for justice. Whether the issue is increased defense spending or slashing the Health and Human Services budget, the EPA, the agriculture budget, WIC, climate change prevention programs, UN peacekeeping, and the complete defunding of the National Endowment for the Arts, the National Endowment for the Humanities, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, this is going to be thirsty work. Jesus said that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied. but it's going to take a lot of involvement and it's going to take a lot of labor. So get ready. One way to prepare ourselves is to be sure that we are drawing from deep spiritual wells, because we ourselves, we're not going to be able to run this race all on our own. We all have a need for connection with something greater than we are, something transcendent, something holy, something numinous. But to acknowledge that God calls on us to work for social justice and to try to tap into the wellspring of the holy has become fairly countercultural, especially in our current political climate and especially with the tenor of most of American Christianity. Sometimes we each, as individuals, experience our well running dry. We hit bottom. We go broke. We have a personal crisis or a health crisis. The popular social worker and psychologist Brené Brown, whose work on perfectionism is currently being studied by a group here at Plymouth, initially called what she experienced a breakdown. She recounts how in her own life she had licked alcoholism and was so obsessive about her diet that she knew the glycemic load of every food on the shelves at her local grocery store. But then the well ran dry. A progressive Episcopalian who loves Marcus Borg, Brown tried to explain it to her therapist as a crisis, as a breakdown. And her wise therapist reframed it for her as a spiritual awakening, which is why she now refers to it as a strike-through breakdown spiritual awakening. When was the last time that your well really ran dry? When was the last time it really hit the fan? Have you ever thought about that as an opportunity for spiritual awakening? How did you cope in the midst of that crisis? You know, there are life-giving wells and there are poisoned wells from which you and I can drink. There are productive and destructive waters that we can consume trying to satisfy our thirst. Physical fitness and psychological health are two life-giving wells from which you can drink. And the third well is spiritual health. Carl Jung, the great Swiss psychoanalyst, writing in 1965, told us that we need to have spirituality in the mix. He writes, "The decisive question for humanity is this: are we related to something infinite or not? That's the telling question of life. Only if we know that the thing which truly matters is the infinite can we avoid fixing our interest upon futilities and upon all kinds of goals which are not of real importance." And I would say drinking from the wrong wells. The more a person lays stress on false possessions and the less sensitivity they have for what is essential, the less satisfying they will find life. If we understand and feel that here in this life we already have a link with the infinite, our desires and attitudes change. Now, most of you already know this. This is not news, but I hope it's a helpful reminder. Returning to the water metaphor, it's necessary for reservoirs and purification systems and plumbing in our spiritual lives as well as for our physical sustenance. That threefold water supply is part of the purpose of this church, of every synagogue, of every mosque, every temple, every sangha, because the individual runs dry on occasion. It's part of the human condition. We each will experience spiritual drought, and most of us don't have all of the reservoir necessary to see our lives through moments of crisis and drifting apart from God. And I hope that for you, Plymouth is something of a reservoir that's fed by deep spiritual springs, providing an ample supply of living water. Our lives can also be sullied by our own pollutants, and so we need rituals of cleansing. You know, we sometimes lose perspective on what clean water should really taste like. And my prayer for you is that you get a mouthful of clean, living water in this church. And the plumbing and distribution system for a living water is all around you. It's not just Jake or Jane Ann or me. All of you are conduits for one another. You're conduits of living water. You're conduits of grace and peace. All of us help to supply living water to one another and to people beyond this congregation. And together, we refill the reservoir. You know, if you ever wonder why church is important, think about it this way: deep wells, reservoirs, purification, and plumbing. I'd like to invite you to join me in a brief guided meditation, if that's something that you wish to do. And if not, that's fine also. I invite you to close your eyes, if you wish, and take a few deep breaths. And allow your body to relax and your mind to come to a still point. Allow yourself to open to the presence of God in this place. And imagine that you are in a dry and arid land. It's hot and dusty. You hear a dry wind blowing the sand around your feet. You walk along through this desert wilderness, seeing only the occasional cactus, and you begin to sense your own thirst. Ahead of you, you see a man standing by a well. As you draw nearer, he invites you to come and have a drink. He's a familiar figure to you, and then you recognize him as Jesus. He draws up water and offers it to you in a cup. As you taste the water, it's cool and sweet. And you sense your deepest thirst falling away. You feel cooled and refreshed by the water he's offered you. And you sense an inner calm washing over you. You realize that any time you thirst for living water, it is available to you. That you can come to the well and that Jesus will draw up that clear, cool, living water and hold it out for you. As you prepare to walk through the wilderness, you offer thanks for that living water. And as you continue your journey, Jesus offers you his blessing and his promise that he will supply living water wherever and whenever you need it. So as you are ready, allow yourself to come back into this time and place. Take a deep breath. Open your eyes. And know that the presence of Christ is in this and every place with you. May the water that God provides bless you. May God's gift of water be available to all people. May it slake our thirst, wash our wounds, refresh our tired bodies. May it sound, calm our anxieties and our stress and our fears. And may the holiness of water, which comprises much of our own bodies and God's earth, remind you of your own baptism into our faith. Amen.